This episode sponsored by You Beauty. Looking for skincare that actually delivers transformative results? You Beauty combines breakthrough science with simplicity. The multitasking resurfacing compound replaces multiple steps with one powerful yet balanced formula, designed to visibly brighten, smooth, and even skin, while helping minimize the look of pores, dark spots, and fine lines. And it's gentle enough for sensitive skin. Add their super hydrator for up to 48 hours of multi-level hydration that leaves skin looking plump, dewy, and glowing. Streamline your routine and see the difference for yourself. Shop now at youbeauty.com.
I feel like Black History Month, this, is it just me or does it feel like people are
not Black like, this month?
I feel like it doesn't feel very Black this month. Well, I feel like people are like, we're over this.
Well, it's also because, you know, most of it got stripped. So if you notice, there's no more, like, you know, honestly, it's very funny. Target was one of the biggest pushers of Black History Month in that, like, they would literally decorate the store, have Black products by, like, Black businesses. That doesn't exist. There's no Black History commercials anymore right now. I mean, if you have been following the news, they legit are pulling stuff down, like in Philadelphia, in DC, in New York, in Atlanta, of just like landmarks.
Yeah,
like,
Philly sued.
Pulling down. Oh, did Philly sue? Philly,
good for they that. Sued. I don't know.
Who that, sued?
It's probably early days for
the
that.
Like the city council?
Mayor? So like they ripped down like some slavery monuments or some
and who
some
is they that,
so Trump so, I'm assuming Trump.
Yeah, they you know who they is.
So the federal government,
you know who they is.
Federal government,
the federal government. The government went to Philadelphia and they had a monument that was talking about I think it was the bus boycott. Scholar, correct me if I'm wrong, but I know there's footage of them pulling that down. It's a couple of footage of certain things around Southeast DC that have been pulled down, and I heard that was happening in Atlanta as well.
And are they doing this at federal? Like, what gives them the right to just go into a city and pull stuff down?
I don't know. And it's been like, these are like, everything I've seen has been like an outdoor monument type thing. Like, so I don't know how it works. Like,
right.
How do you put your name on the Kennedy
Center? It certainly doesn't work. It certainly doesn't work in any sort of.
But by the way, hold on. Were these not the same people who are like, you can't tear down these.
Ray, don't do that. Don't do that.
No.
You can't tear down these racist.
This is one of the few instances of like when it's like, aren't you the same people who did X, Y, and Z? This is certainly the same people who did X,
right?
Y, and Z.
And they're like, no, General Lee must stay up there. It's history. Why do you guys want to tear apart history?
Because, I mean, and for the same reason that like Hegseth was like, great. All the Confederate general bases, their names are back now. We're going to, the names are back. We're doing this. We're putting the names back up here. We're doing the names over here, you know, because it is retaliation for that specifically. Like, this is a very clear case in point of like, you hit me, I'm going to hit you back, you know.
Right. Okay. So you took down our Confederate flag. Now we're going to take down
the fact that slaves built the White House, stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to take that down.
This plaque.
And hopefully y'all forget it.
We're going to literally erase history.
For free. I mean, but I agree, Bray. It doesn't feel like Black History Month, so much so that like when I was watching Bad Bunny, I felt like a lot of Black people, and I can't speak for everybody, there was so much excitement by it because it felt... like some type of representation. It just felt like, hey,
sure,
like look at that, like look at Brown Brothers is on TV, and it was just so
like these were the like this was the Black History Month representation we needed.
That's all we had. Like this,
right?
I mean, guys, there's no commercial. There was I saw more commercials. Well, I don't.
So
well, you saw
what Gerard's
AI.
Trying to say
you
is Puerto Ricans were allowed to say the N word yesterday. That's
no,
what
I ain't saying. Listen, no.
They had a character from a different world de-aged in the Dunkin' Donuts commercial. That was my
that
thing.
Commercial was
you're
so
right.
unnerving,
and they had Carlton,
and so
and
unnerving,
and Urkel.
And Costanza.
Wait, is this my favorite commercial? I didn't pay attention to nothing yesterday.
I will say this. I hated the fact that the de-aging was used in so many commercials. I hated that. But I did appreciate that Dunkin' Donuts, when representing the 90s, included so many black sitcoms. I was like, that's kind of cool. I do like that. That was the closest we got to Black History Month. Right there.
And Ben Affleck was the lead of that commercial.
Yeah. We were being educated about George Washington Carver or Loving. But we got that, you know.
Wait, what?
Well, Loving is the case, the federal court case where...
You don't have to explain this.
No, I get that, but we didn't just watch the film.
No, I'm saying like we just watched the film. Like this is might be a, it's just like, it's that's like a black history, like literally.
Yeah.
Why are you confused, Jarrah?
You know what? I'm okay. You know what? I'm asking too many questions.
You don't, it looks like you're not loving.
You've done the podcast before, right? You've done the podcast before. You know that Bray does these like, transitions where he tries to work.
I feel like I successfully did it. I want you all to know
that Braylock, after saying that, paused, and we're doing this via Zoom basically, and I can't tell where he was looking, but I feel like he was looking in my box.
Sorry, James.
I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming, and I thought you were gonna do like a Super Bowl McDonald's, like I'm loving it. Reference, like I thought you were gonna do, like,
James, oh my god, James, I'm
James,
so
what are you doing? James, what are you doing?
I am so mad at you. I literally should have just interrupted you. I almost said, hold on, James, we have to pause for a brief commercial break, but I decided to let you speak. And I beat you to the thing
that I knew you were gonna.
You're right, I was going to do it. That was my third one.
Tim, I'm embarrassed. I'm so
just
sorry.
Doing it in my Brian Cox impersonation.
I'm embarrassed.
That is insane. Brian Cox being the voice of McDonald's.
He's just like
after Succession, after he represents the most corporate
corruption.
All right, let's start the show.
Jonathan Braylock, James the Third, Jarrah Milligan, JD McGinn.
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
I don't have any quotes for this one. I don't have any quotes. I'm not going to do it.
What do you hate?
I don't have a quote. I'm not going to do it.
That felt very Black History, James, by the way.
You're just a dude who goes to work and is like, you know what? I think I'm going to leave. I don't feel like it. I think I'm good.
Could have just said, I have nothing to say. And that would have actually been
a quote. But then there it is. I have nothing to say.
No, it's too late. You already established.
But see, the thing is, you don't want to do it. I really have nothing to say.
Okay.
Wow.
Look, this is a film review podcast. We review the films of leading Black actors. We talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood. Yeah. There are three of us who host this. The voice you're listening to right now, who is a product of a mixed race marriage, is Jonathan Braylock.
Braylock is a reverse 11. This is the reverse 11. That's the
Let's
Oreo
all
version.
Describe our percentages as we introduce ourselves. That's the
Oreo version right there. Respect it. this voice that is honestly 100% American Negro is Jarrah Milligan.
And this voice, who is in an interracial relationship and has a mixed race child, is James III.
Wow, and we have
wait, Bray, what you doing?
Incredible guest.
It's Black History Month, Bray. It's Black History Month.
Okay, so I'm going to introduce our amazing talented guest.
Okay, but you got to do it right, Bray, because it's Black History Month.
Okay, but when you say I have to do it right, I hope you mean that you yourself are going to do it right.
Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna do something special because it's Black History Month. Boom! 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 Boom!
Okay. Tim Barnes, everybody. Welcome to the show. Tim is confused, as are we.
Those were deeper drums. Those were like...
I thought we were going to sing the Black National Anthem.
Did y'all hear it?
That was like I thought so, too. For a second, I thought you were about to sing Prince Ali from... I didn't know what that was.
I thought it was the end of Beef. What's the song that plays in the Beef commercial?
It's drums. No, it wasn't that fast.
It wasn't that fast, right?
These were heavy drums.
I heard make way for Prince.
This is why we got Black History Month, because niggas ain't being supportive. Y'all the reason. Y'all primary examples of why we ain't got shit. You know what?
Tim, thank you so much for being on the podcast again.
Yeah, yes,
again, baby.
Last time I think we talked about the Will Smith animated spy movie. I forget what it was called.
Oh my god.
Oh, yes.
Spies in disguise.
You are back for another banger.
Remember that.
And for the record, people are often shocked to find out that both of my parents are black, but clearly there's something going on in the past.
Yes, something's happening. You know, and that's the thing is that there's just, you know, we've been here. Black people have been here in America for a while. A couple people, you know, be dipping in and out.
I think it's true for a lot of us.
I think
it's,
so.
It's
I
certainly think so true too. For me. Certainly true for me.
What?
That you in my family.
Oh.
My grandma's very light skinned. I don't know her on my dad's side, and then I'm the color that I am. You know what I mean? We just all out here. Everybody was mixed.
We all out here.
Not on purpose necessarily.
The younger generations in my family.
Not by choice.
We were just straight Negroes, but now my little cousins all have white wives. So.
So you say like that with the way you what? You're just no. like reside to have to
no,
accept.
No, I'm saying we didn't have it, and now my family is starting to like branch out, and they have white wives, but it's also the kids of the parents that were when I was younger was like, you're just gonna go off and get you a white girl, and they used to say it in that kind of way, but now all their sons have white girls, and I'm like, but y'all ain't dragging these niggas, you know what I'm saying?
Isn't it crazy how, you know, biracial is kind of a big deal, but triracial is kind of nothing? Like, no one...
Right. Once that happens, people are like, whatever, you're just mixed. Okay.
Yeah. Right? Right?
Whatever. You're just, yeah. You little mutt. Wow. Get out of here.
I've said this on the pod already, but when there was people on my dad's side saw pictures of my wife, they were like, oh, she got something in her.
Wait, what? That's the best part of being black.
What?
That's the best part. My mom swears Wolf Blitzer's black. The first time she saw Wolf Blitzer. Theories.
No
I just love the theories.
No
be.
Way.
That's an interesting one.
Wolf he got Blitzer. He got that.
Very German. He got that.
Whatever descript you want to say, yeah. He has it.
Wow.
Tim is an incredible comedian, writer, who's written for The Tonight Show, all that revival that James also wrote for. And you two have James is on the new podcast you got coming out. Is that right?
Yes, yes. I have a scripted podcast coming out called Judge Travis. The first three episodes come out February 11th. And James is in an episode and he was a pivotal part of the recording of it. On multiple levels, actually. Like you did some...
I had so much fun.
Background voices, and you were there as what's the proper term for we had you a reader?
I think just reader. Yeah. It's probably accurate. Reader.
And the show is called Judge Travis. It's about the behind the scenes of a TV court show, like a Judge Mathis type show, and how it happens and the judge's personal life affects his verdict. So it's like the Larry Sanders show and the Bernie Mac show combined.
And we are going to play a clip in this episode. Either it has played already, nice. Ooh, or we're going to play fun. It right now.
All rise for the Honorable and Chief Judge Percy Bernard Travis Jr. II. This court is now in session.
Very mature, Raquel.
Before we start, I'm letting y'all all know I don't like dogs. I know I should. Me, dogs, and Irish people weren't allowed in certain stores back in the day. But now dogs and Irish people are two populations most likely to be cops. And they still follow me around, TJ Maxx. So there's that.
I can't stand dogs either. Never know if they're going to hump you or bite you. I should call where I'm at.
What did you just bark to me? I'm not afraid to arrest a canine.
Hey, mind toning it down with the additional commentary? Is that you growling or the dog?
So let me guess. You a divorced couple fighting for custody of a dog you think is adorable but is actually ugly as hell.
That couldn't be further from the truth, Your Honor.
I hate to say this, but Brock is right, Your Honor. It's our two cute dogs who are married.
What? I'm single, but dogs are out here getting legally booed up. Make it make sense.
You understand this is not building a good case for you to get that raise.
You know, I wasn't going to say anything, Raquel, but since you're asking for a man's perspective, I blame them unwifely shack-sized talons you call nails. You trying to catch a man to claw him to death. Anyway, I'm just kidding. Or am I? See, that's the simple beauty of getting roasted in the black community.
See, I'm losing my hashtag nail if status as we speak. Oh, so you're going to pretend you can't hear me mutter that.
Okay, I'm going to need y'all to explain this one to me fast and rhythmically like them Cupid shuffle instructions. You, name.
Brock's Lawson, Your Honor. And this is my sweet little angel, Twinkles.
And what is the dog's breed?
Portuguese water dog, sir. Same as the Obama's dog. I consider them one of our finest first families.
You got that right. You're military, huh?
That's correct, Your Honor. Hey, how about yourself?
Oh, come on. Nah. But I did play a soldier in an ill-fated Civil War sitcom on the United Paramount Network.
Now, he could have just said UPN.
This is unfair. You're clearly bonding with Brock over his military status, and it's forming a bias. Also, isn't United Paramount Network just UPN?
Percy, let's just avoid this topic. I'm worried the younger crowd won't understand what Paramount or a network is.
What? These kids ain't never watched The Parkers? Shut up!
I'm sorry. Are you saying something?
You must be the defendant, Mr. Dwayne Hart.
Yes. And this is my dog, Chester.
And what would this dog's breed be?
Yes, he's a mutt.
Hey, that's the same result I got from Skip on Finding Your Roots. Now, Brock has accused Chester of... how do I put this up? Making friends with dogs out of wedlock.
More than that, Your Honor. He's knocked 14 other dogs up and barely ever spends time with Twinkles. I'm seeking an annulment, a full reimbursement for the wedding, as well as pup support.
Oh, he smashed Twinkles' cheeks, too.
That's right.
Oh, you a bad dog, Chester. I see you. Now, I don't know much about canines. Are there little doggy condoms available?
Most people get them neutered.
Why didn't you do that, Dwayne?
I'm a devout Catholic.
Okay, I'm gonna stay out of that. See, I fear the Lord. And the Pope's got that antenna hat, too. Did it pick up the God channel without static? What you do for a living?
Data entry from home. So I have plenty of time to focus on work as well as my five dogs.
The lies!
Five dogs? Oh, couldn't be me. I got five kids, but at least they stopped needing me to clean and give them hugs at some point.
I mean, I don't really mind giving Chester hugs, so...
If Dwayne has so much time, why is this the first time Twinkles and I have seen him in weeks?
Okay. It's starting to sound like this has less to do with the dogs and more to do with the two of you. How did the humans here meet?
Online.
Dating service, I'm assuming?
Hey, we're straight!
Okay, noted. Damn.
It was Fortnite, sir. A video game I escaped into when I got home from the service, sir. See, as soon as I stepped off that plane, I could tell that the spark of love had dwindled in my wife's eyes. Later, I learned it was because she'd been cheating on me. We since divorced.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Divorce is rough, no pun intended. I mean, I wouldn't really know because I'm in a perfect decades-long marriage with my childhood sweetheart. I wrote about it in my book, You Could Be Us, But You Playin'.
I hope to have that someday. Until then, I've got Twinkles. The light in her eyes has never wavered.
My Lord, please tell me he is not in an entanglement with that dog.
So where'd you two really meet?
A local dog park. Chester and Twinkles got along instantly.
Later, Dwayne and I realized we'd actually met earlier in the game.
Dang, that's like a double meet cute. Look at God work.
So after Chester and Twinkles met, you started spending more time together in the real world?
Guess you could say that. I'd bring Twinkles to his place while we played video games. You know, he'd bring Chester over while we were gaming.
So it's kind of like how when Neo got to the real world from The Matrix, he's still going them little computer programs on the Nebuchadnezzar to learn kung fu.
Honestly, I haven't seen that movie in a while, but sure, I think so.
All right.
Hold on. I mean, we just froze like this.
I hope you love that.
That's so funny.
And what I love about it is that it's like a passion project by accident. So I pitched the idea for a specific network when they were going for a specific actor. Yeah.
I love the generality of this. We'll talk about
that later. So I pitched that idea. I forgot about it. Months later, it came back to me and they were like, we're not going for the specific actor anymore. So this pitch that was just like, you know, I feel like when you're pitching something in that way, you care about it to a certain degree, but not too much. But when it got handed back to me and it wasn't attached to anybody, I got really like excited to write the pilot. And when I started writing the pilot, I realized that even though it's a cliche of a judge character, I was really adding elements of my actual grandfather who I lived with in LA when I started writing for TV for the first time for 6 months. And he was from Louisiana. He's the reason I have so many grandmas. He was a player till the day he died. Oh, and so that aspect became, and it's like, it's that, but it's also like Steve Harvey. It's like all these other types into this character. And so that's who that character is. Jax is a producer character who Langston Kerman plays in the show, who's a little bit more of an NPR-ish type black person. So the show's about that specific clash. And it was awesome, you know, putting the whole show together. But I say this because when we started recording the episodes that during that whole time when James, you were part of that, I don't think a lot of people know this, but it was crazy. So that grandpa, my mom's dad, passed away right before I got married, like a couple weeks before I got married. And then by the time that we finally started recording the show, maybe like 2 years, I don't know, time is crazy, a year or so after that, my mom's mom had passed away. So I literally finished the last recording session that you were part of, James, and then went to her funeral. So this is a project that is insanely personal, even though it is a comedy. But it's the first time that I realized, oh, it's like my eyes have been open to how valuable it is when you actually care about something, even if it's a comedy. Because if you pitch something that somehow takes half a decade to come out, it's way better if it's not just some silly idea and it's something that you have some emotional stakes in. So
yeah,
I think that's a good downer to lead into this movie.
I mean, perfect.
I mean that sounds great. No, I hope people please go check that out. But yeah, today we are talking about the film Loving. This movie came out in 2016. It is about the the couple that was at the center of the Supreme Court case that finally kind of made it like, hey, interracial marriage is okay everywhere in the United States. And this movie stars Ruth Negga and Joel Edgerton. It was kind of like an awards push, but I actually don't think it was nominated. It only got nominated for one Oscar. And that was Ruth Negga's performance. And she was nominated for Best Actress. She didn't win. That was kind of it. It wasn't nominated for anything else. And what else is there to say? I guess, the movie. Hold on, I'm looking up a Rotten Tomatoes score real quick. Let's see.
It's the craziest episode of The Kroll Show I've ever seen.
Oh my God, that's right. Nick Kroll is in this. What is
genuinely
wild? Yeah. I was like, wow, 2016 was a different time.
I was looking away when his character first started speaking, and I was like, what? I immediately burst.
It's so weird when that happens.
What is happening?
Okay, 88% on Rotten Tomatoes critic score, 76% audience score. Its budget was $9 million. It made $12.9 million at the box office. So, yeah, obviously didn't do super well at the box office. But critics liked it well enough. But yeah, not too many awards season. But it is about, we're close to Valentine's Day and it's certainly Black History Month. So why don't we start off initial thoughts? And Tim, we usually let our guests go first, unless you don't want to. You could pass it.
I think I couldn't help but think about the timing. Like, this was probably filmed during the Obama administration, and then it came out in 2016. He was still president in 2016, right?
Right. Then, so the yes, it came out like while it was clear that Trump would be on. Well, let's see. When what's the actual date? But you're right. It was definitely filmed while Obama was president.
Yeah. Yeah. So it feels like it's like a marker of the end of a certain type of movie.
Oh, its release date was November 4th. So I bet that was literally either right before or right after Trump got elected.
Yeah. And it was probably crazy because I think everyone thought that Hillary was going to win. So
not everybody.
It felt like, well, that's true, in terms of like mass media, I feel like all these movies, wasn't that when like the Ruth Bader Ginsburg movie came out? So like all these movies, like, oh, is it going to be the you know, the 4 years of women? So I feel like everything was prepared for that.
Yeah.
And not aware that Donald Trump was going to be the president. And then, yeah, so that's the kind of stuff that was swirling through my head. But I loved the simplicity of this movie. And then similar to The Force Awakens, the third act, I was just, I don't want to blame it on Nick Kroll.
I love comparing this film to The Force Awakens. Yeah.
I mean, The Force Awakens.
And I don't want to blame it on Nick Kroll.
The Force Awakens. Lord, what a disappointment.
All right. I hear that. Okay, great. Let me go next before you guys go. Because I didn't mind this movie. I say I don't mind it, I mean, like, I thought it was okay. I mean, like, okay. Honestly, this is literally what I thought when I was watching this movie. I thought, wow, these two people must not have been that interesting of people. Like, they must, it feels like the actual couple that went through all of this was like, we're just like a small country, you know, family that like, we just want to live where we live. And that's really it. Like, we don't actually want to do all of this, but we do want to like live in Virginia. And so we'll go through this, but they're not very interesting. And so the movie was like, I don't know. We don't know what to do. And then, you know, like, Joel Edgerton is more, we're focused on him more than we're focused on Ruth. And then the later half of the movie, I guess Ruth starts speaking much more than he does because he's like super quiet and doesn't want to talk to anybody. And I mean, it was interesting, like the last line of the quote that they had on her deathbed was like, he was nice to me and took care of me, which was like, felt like, oh, okay, like that's such a small, I mean, like it's like a nice sentiment, but it's like, you know, it doesn't feel like that grand of a thing to say about you know, your husband who you went through this thing with. And I feel like the movie like didn't care about the court case at all, which was weird.
Not at all. Yeah.
Like it like truly didn't care about it at all. Like, we basically don't see it. Like, we see a tiny bit of the opening remarks and then that's it. And I was like, I kept waiting for, I was like, man, when are we going to get to this court case? And then it was just like at the very end, they were like, yeah. And then they got it. And I was like, okay. So I thought that was a little strange because usually these movies like to be like, show like, here's whatever. So I guess the nice thing about that was like it wasn't super focused on the white lawyers. Like, they come in and they're like they're barely in it either. But not a lot happens in this movie. So it is a little sleepy time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I actually did really think the performances were really good, especially seeing Ruth Negga in other stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, oh, the character she plays here is like very different from who she is. Like, she's not this person, you know? So I thought like, so I was like, I was like, wow, she did a really good job. And I did think Joel Edgerton did a really good job playing, again, a person who seems very, really simple. And I'm not trying to say that in a disparaging way. I just mean like, it feels like their wants in life were pretty basic, or at least how the movie showcased them. Who knows what these people are actually like? I guess people who know them do. That's it. Yeah. Anyway, that's all I have to say. Go ahead.
I thought that the examples of racial friction were almost surprisingly subdued. And in a weird way, that was a breath of fresh air, because I think there's a way to be a very cliche, racist, white actor in one of these movies. But I was surprised by how long it took to even get like some conflict from some of the black characters. I think it's like in the third act that you finally get a guy kind of.
That's a good point. There's like almost no conflict from everybody. Everybody's just like, cool. I was like, oh, all right.
Yeah, there's a brick almost lovingly placed in his car at one point.
That is truly.
Hey, just so you know.
I could have thrown this at you, cuz, but I didn't.
That is such a funny way to describe that, because actually there was a part of me that was like, wait, was this meant as a threat, or was it actually, or was it just like somebody like trying to be like, hey man, I saw you in Life magazine, like that's cool, dude. And like, we make bricks. I didn't know how to show. So I just wrapped it around one of these bricks we made. But I just wanted
to thank you for breaking down the walls of society.
Here's
representation of bricks.
You should maybe hang this up. Hang this up in your home with your lovely Negro wife. All right.
God.
James, you want to go?
I feel like Gerard might have a little bit more to say.
That's why we're saving him.
No, I got don't disappoint.
I didn't like this movie. It felt like it was like avoiding Ruth Negga specifically. Like it felt like the movie was dancing around having her participate in the story. Yes. The line at the end where they're like, you know, she, you know, didn't like the media and stayed away and blah 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 and stuff, was like, oh, okay, you're putting context into why you felt like you couldn't put words in this woman's mouth, but she was feeling stuff and she was going through stuff, and we could have seen more of that. That was my biggest issue with the movie, is that I was surprised that we didn't get into the court case. But like, it really, when I first got mad when she was in jail and they didn't show any of that. It was just like, she's in jail. Let's go follow this man. Right. Let's go see what this man is doing outside of prison while his wife is in prison for who knows how long. I don't know if it was days or if it was hours or what, but
probably 3 days or at least.
Yeah. Right? And so it's like, even if the only thing you thought interesting to write is like the one time they're like, I should throw this black man in there with you, you know, whatever. It's like she,
which happens 2 seconds before she gets out of jail.
Before she gets out. Exactly.
It was very strange.
So it's just sort of, they didn't, that happened. And then the next time I got really mad was when the kid gets hit by the car and you don't even see her get told it happened. Like, I was just like, okay, you're not giving her time to you're not giving her chances to act anything. You don't want her to experience any of the stuff that you're even putting in this movie. So that I think is the movie's biggest issue, is how it underwrites her. Even if she is someone who is not a very public person, did not talk to the media, like you're making a movie now, so you know, write something, you know.
Yes.
So that was frustrating to me. Outside of that, I mean, like, you know, I think that the movie clearly thought that the story was worth, I don't know how long it was, 2 hours or whatever, you know, and wanted to kind
five
of give
hours.
It, give it that, I know it felt long. Yeah. And wanted to kind of give it that, you know, and so, and you can just really tell, the going off of what you were saying earlier, you can really tell that this movie is pre-Trump in the way that like ACLU is kind of funny, and like how, like, you know, the joke that really stands out is like, is there anything you want me to say to them? Them being the Supreme Court justices of the United States, who it's like, right, oh, the people that are gonna write this into law and save the day and blah 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 and whatever. And it's like, no, fuck fuck the Supreme Court. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like yeah. I literally feel like fuck the Supreme Court, and they are just any of, they are all people who, you know, who pre this time, I thought acted on, you know, really like considered the law and the meaning and what it would mean to people and blah, 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 and whatever. And it's like post that. And in this era, you know, you just really realize how much people are ass and like, and how, you know, they operate for money and their own self-interest and blah, 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 and whatever. And so, you know, it's just really interesting to watch it now. It with all of this, what's going on currently in mind, like it sort of just makes some of that stuff even harder to stomach and you know, anyway, whatever.
Yeah.
I didn't have a good time, but I'm glad we watched it. I'll say that.
I respect that. Yeah, man, I didn't like any part of this movie. I fuck, I wasted my life. As a matter of fact, in the middle of this movie, I got up and I went, knocked on my neighbor's door, played with his dog a little bit, came back and was like, ugh, this is my thing. I have a friend and she's been doing this.
Did you leave the movie playing?
Wait, no, wait. I paused it. Honestly, I probably could have left this shit playing because Ruth didn't talk for real for the first half of this movie. So, okay. But there's a thing. So one of my friends keeps talking about like how now in modern movies, and I think we talked about it on the podcast, or movies and TV shows, there's this big push where you see the white guy, like the famous white guy, and a black woman. But it's very specifically, it's always a black woman. Like thinking about Ruth in this movie, Ruth was recently in 2025 on Presumed Innocent, which was Jake Gyllenhaal's show, which Chase Infinity, her first
really
acting
good
role.
Show.
And I was thinking about her in that movie. And this, like that character feels like the evolution of this character, like not character, but this person. Because she is, again, a sister to a white man who, like, is going through a court thing. And it is different because it involves her, but not. But it's like, you know, I think in that show, she has way more agency than she does in this movie. And I think if I wouldn't have saw that, it wouldn't be so apparent that she's just, like, along for the ride. And again, I understand this is a real-life movie.
No,
but
it's
also
very apparent.
But also what's so interesting is, like, look, man, in Hidden Figures, they have fucking Taraji running halfway across the base. To Pharrell, that lady was like, I ain't never running no fucking bathroom. Yeah, I remember her. Like, she was like, I ain't never running no bathroom.
She, the real she person. Also the real wasn't person. Just, to that same end, Jerron, I don't even feel like she was only along for the ride because they had those couple moments where Joel didn't want to participate, but she would participate. And there was this weird thing where, this specific thing you're talking about, where it was like, we never saw her and then we would see her doing something, but it was like, it was through the eyes of the man who didn't want to do something. You know what
yes,
I mean?
Like, yes.
Like he walked in on her having an interview.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. He walked in on her and then it was like him being like, I wish you wouldn't do that. And she's like, I think it's good. And then that's it. We don't see her deciding to do it or dealing with any of the blah, blah, blah. You know, like, yeah, anyway, to your point.
This is a black woman at a time where at the end of the day, as they showed in this movie, her life is in danger, not his. At every point, her life is in danger. I mean, sure, something could happen to him, but we see which one goes to jail. You know what I'm saying? And I think there's an urgency that is missed in this movie. And I think it's because Hollywood has this perplexity to always show things from a white man's point of view, bro. Like, again, if I think about Hidden Figures, I didn't fucking need that white dude knocking down the colored only bathroom sign because that didn't fucking exist. Like, these things keep happening. And I'm like, hey, if you're going to have this movie, have it be a true two-hander. Let it be a two-hander. And it's not, it's really not. And I kind of feel, I mean, shit, we're in the Oscar season and I feel like there's so many conversations happening right now about the Oscars and about some of the nominations. And when I think about this movie, I think it's very cool that Ruth got a nomination. I do think it's that, it's what I struggle with about Sinners. And James, I think you and I talked about this. It's like, I do think Sinners is a really good movie, but Sinners got a bunch of nominations where it feels like, see, look, we cool black people. You know what I'm saying? Like, we not all bad. Look at all the nominations. And the thing is, I know it's not going to win 8 of the motherfucking nominations. And I think about Ruth getting this nomination. Like, if I think about the scene they must have shown of her getting this you know, when they show the Oscar scene, like, oh, this is her nomination scene. I don't know what scene that is. It's not saying she's not a good actress, but they didn't give her. She was a passenger to me in this movie. And that sucks. Cause like, I feel like oftentimes black women are passengers, especially the white men. And then we do see her stand up. Like what James is saying, we don't see her make the decision to stand up. Like at any point. I don't know, man. And
I just struggle with this movie.
I think it's interesting. There's a part of me that, cause I watched Train Dreams recently and Joel Edgerton's in that. And that's a very quiet movie with very like subtle. It's kind of like this, like everything is like very small and subtle and like it's not flashy in any sense of the word. And so I do think the intention of this director was to make like people who really love this movie or really love the performances. It's they love the small stuff and like so the scenes in which she is deciding, she's not saying anything. It's more just like everything's happening kind of like with her eyes or emotionally or the, you know, like the scene that you're talking about, James, is like instead of the dramatic moment of the kid being like, you know, your son got hit by a car and her going out and crying or whatever. Instead, it just cuts to the bags are packed and she's like, you know, I'm not living here anymore. And like, she's just decided that. And it was the same with this thing. Like she calls on the phone and she's like, hears that it's free. And then it's like, I'm deciding we're going to do this. But I agree that like, especially the first half of the movie, we barely see her, and outside of like the one conversation she has with her sister, which is a nice scene.
Yeah.
But outside of that, it's like everything is definitely being filtered through his lens. And it does feel like the movie was kind of like, we gotta show this through the white lens first before we can get into her. And like, it almost like does like a little bit of a handoff midway through. And they're like, okay, now she's driving it a little bit. But they're both so soft-spoken, like neither of them really talk. Like,
I'm searching for a fix, and I'm afraid that this fix also centers one of the white characters. But it feels like it feels like the movie would be 10 times more interesting if it started with the photographer going there. For some reason, that was the most interesting stuff because the photos are famous, and so if you're going from the lens of someone who's like
100%.
Yeah, who's been told to go there and he's trying to get a sense of everything. He's an outsider.
I hear what you're saying. I think maybe one of the things you're pointing to is like actually seeing their relationship. And to me, that's what I miss the most about this movie is that I feel like we barely got to see their relationship. And it's kind of strange that... So I looked up the real life and I guess they met when they were like literally teenagers. And she got pregnant at 18, like when, like that first scene in the movie, which by the way, this movie is way too dark.
Yes.
Guys, I could not see anything.
Yes.
And anyway,
you had to close all your windows.
I had to close my windows. I had to turn the brightness up. And I understand there's a thing happening with our TVs. And like, it's been explained on the internet through several videos why everything looks too dark. But I also think that people are filming things not correctly.
Yes, I agree.
And the lighting is like not good. And it's just like, guys, we need to see what's happening. Anyway.
Agree.
But yeah, because like the beginning of this movie opens in darkness. And I'm like, I kind of see them. And they're like, she's like, I'm pregnant. He's like, good. And then I was like, I thought that was going to be like a flashback. But it wasn't. It wasn't. We chronologically keep going forward in this film. And I was kind of like, but isn't a huge part of this like showing how this romantic relationship started because it's literally illegal?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like there's danger involved there and you don't have to, my thing is like, you don't have to show like racist white people like screaming at them or like throwing something at them or any violence. Like we can feel their danger just in how they meet or how they're looking around when they're being intimate. Or when she's telling her family for the first time. And like, even if her family didn't say anything and they were supportive, the stress of having to do that, the stress that he had to do, like that, the mom, it was so interesting in the movie. I couldn't tell if the mom was like racist or not. And I guess maybe that's too binary, but I literally was just like, I have no idea what this mom is like. And I wished I don't know. I was just like, it's how they were with each other around other people and how that developed feels like such a worthy thing to show. And the fact that they didn't really show any of that or the court case. And I was like, well, if you're not even going to show the court case, then you certainly had time to show this, didn't you?
Yeah. You know what it is too, though? I think about it in, I feel like, Bray, that is an interesting topic, but I think in writing this movie, they probably felt that wasn't exciting enough, if that makes sense. I feel like what you're talking about is a nuance of, like, for instance, the Super Bowl just ended. A lot of people are talking about, you know, Bad Bunny and just him waking up the kid laying on three chairs. That is a big deal to Latin culture, but it's so small. You being like, hey, how did they date? Them walking down the street, them looking over their shoulder and not making that a big deal, just a part of their everyday life, I think is drastically important. But I think if you're making this movie for a predominantly white audience, which I do think is made for, that may go over people's heads. Like, if it's literally just an eye look to the side, I don't think that's going to be big enough for them, because they're like, I don't know this experience unless you happen to be in an interracial relationship, you know?
I guess I could understand that if I felt like this film, but this film is not big and it's not that interesting.
That is true.
That's what I was going to say. They didn't do anything big. Like, they didn't show like something bigger than that. Like, adding that would only heighten what they've already established. Like, it would heighten what they've already established a little bit more. It would have given, you know, it would have given weight to the brick. You know,
right? Because the brick,
the scariest moment.
You're right. Yeah, go ahead.
Was just clicking play with all the FBI warnings. I had never clicked on any streaming thing where I saw that many FBI warnings.
There were a lot of FBI warnings. Yeah, true. I have to say, this actor who played the racist sheriff, one of the scariest portrayals of a racist cop I've seen, because he didn't do much in this movie. I don't think he ever even raised his voice, and I was like, this dude will hang you.
Yeah,
like
he's gonna,
like,
skin
this
people.
Guy
he's gonna tar and feather, he's gonna
I was like, this guy has lynched at least one person for a fact,
minimum,
you know what I mean?
Minimum.
I'm like, this guy is scary. Yeah, it's weird that the movie was 2 hours, because it really did feel like they showed so little. One of the other things that was striking to me, and I don't know if this is fair or not, because I don't know the real story, but for me, it felt like the movie was kind of trying to show, like, hey, these people, they weren't really that brave or courageous. They kind of just, like, happened upon the whole, like they just went along for the ride almost. And them showing the scene where they pled guilty and they were both kind of just like, they didn't really put up much of a fight, and they were just like, guilty, great, I guess we're leaving, and they left. And then they like come in and they just want to have the baby with family around, and then, but they have to get arrested again, and they're just like, okay. And they like get arrested again, and like,
I mean, you know, the ACLU. What I mean, I know we shouldn't make this about the white people, but they were the puppet masters. They were like, oh, we can. This is the case to capitalize on.
Right,
y'all got to get arrested a couple times, but we got you. You know what I mean? And like that, the pulling of strings and the conversations and whatever was going on over there. The like four beats of that we got, like everything else that was going on, I am far more interested in, you know, I'm either far more interested in that for a movie or really write these people together and let me really see these people together and what it's like to have a relationship, not like because it sort of just reads like a Wikipedia article. It feels like the movie feels like a Wikipedia article. And we watch a lot of biopics where this happens. I think we've said this multiple times on the podcast now at this point.
I think
that's
right.
But this one in particular feels like that, where it's just like, these are the highlights, you know, this kind of happened and they kind of got, you know, they were kind of, this person was kind of racist to them a little bit and they were in jail for this amount of time and they weren't in jail together. And, you know, but like, that's what it was. It wasn't like, two people that love each other going through an experience. At least the movie didn't feel like that. And I think that's frustrating.
Yeah, you got me thinking about how much we center white people in movies, even in the Avatar films. You can't just have a movie about...
Yes. Yes.
You just have a movie about blue people.
Listen, Tim, I tell you what.
I can go off on freaking Avatar.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. Did we talk about Avatar on here? Have we talked about Avatar on here yet? Because that's so true.
I mean, only a little bit. And I guess just briefly, because this last Avatar, Fire and Ash.
I haven't seen the last two.
I haven't seen them since the first one, yeah.
And good for you, and you don't need to. It's the same movie. It is the same movie. But it's just so funny how in every single one of these movies, like, it's all about, like, oh, like F these humans. The humans are doing all the bad stuff. And, like, we're the Na'vi. And yet the people at the center of all of these stories are humans who just became the Na'vi. And I was like,
aren't they white humans who become the Na'vi?
Correct. Well, yes. I mean, actually, 100% yes. 100% yes, Jira. And even if they weren't white, to me, it's like, it's so
transracial,
it's so telling.
Na'vi?
Yeah, it's like Get Out and Avatar are actually the same movie.
Yes, Tim, it is. I talk about this all the time.
Except it's about the family. It's about the family and not about the other, right.
The other one's about the family. The only difference is that the white people get away with it and we made them heroes. That's the only difference.
And they are heroes. But that's what I'm saying is that in the Avatar movies, like, it is such a pure example of how Hollywood normally treats, like, civil rights or anything about any other race. It's just like, here's the white person at the center. They go into the other culture. They save the people in this culture that they've adopted and point the finger at the bad white people and be like, or I'm talking Last Samurai. I'm talking Dances with Wolves. I'm talking a freaking Green Book and all these the Help. It's just like, that's what this is. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just over and over again. This is what we see. Anyway, for this movie, I just feel like ultimately I was like, if you're not going to do the bells and whistles version of this, then, like, please just make it about the relationship. Because at the end of the day, like, if you even want to do character explorations of these people, like, that should exist within this relationship. And we get glimmers of their relationship here and there, which is like cool. But I was just like, I don't know why we aren't seeing more of them, like their romance, how their romance gets interrupted. Is the stress of all of this stuff that's happening affecting their relationship and their marriage in any way? How does it affect their children? How they see their children? Like, why don't we get a scene where one of these little kids comes in and is like, hey, a kid at class called me a half-breed?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
And they have to, like, talk about it, you know, or not talk about it, you know, but at least, like, let us see that thing. 'Cause, like, it's real. And you know that these people have to deal with this stuff.
I mean, especially because another one of the big kind of emotional moments is, so just so you know, the ACLU is like, so just so you know, like, they're going to talk about your kids and about how horrible this is for your kids. But even at this point in the movie, which is the last 20 minutes of the movie, yeah, it does not feel like these kids are even experiencing it remotely. They're not getting any of it. And maybe they shielded it from them. But, like, even kind of seeing moments of that and figuring out how they navigated that would have helped even to juice up that moment at the end of the movie. Like, they even just refused to go into it. But they still acknowledge it for a moment.
Even them leaving, even her being like, I don't want to be in DC anymore. We have to move back. And they just did that off of this, like, strange events of the kid, like, getting hit by the car. Mm-hmm. I was kind of, but then he's totally fine. I was like, I'm sorry. I need more than that. I just do. I don't believe, I understand that the woman may have even interviewed with you and said, like, that was the moment I knew. I don't care. That's not a real person. The real person, there was things building up and that was the last straw. Like, I need to see why she felt so uncomfortable in DC. Because the reality is, a lot of people did move out of Virginia. Like, a lot of black people, especially during this time, like this was the Great Migration time. Like people were leaving the South and being like, I'm done here. I'm going up North. Now, a lot of people went up there and they're like, God, this isn't much better. But there's a reason.
Yes, more like, insidious.
All black people were in the South and they went up to DC and freaking, you know, Ohio and New York, whatever, all these other places, like because they were leaving racism behind. And so I want to know about the person who left it and then was like, I hate this city. And like why that is. Like, is it just the fact that it's a city? Maybe that's true. Was there other racism that she was experiencing in a way that felt different and she hated it? Like all the people around? Like, what was something happening to her kids? More mm-hmm. so than just like getting hit by a car. Because I'm like, your kid could have got hit by a car in the country. Like, I understand yeah. there's more cars
there's
around.
There's too many
like,
cars. That's but yeah, like, yeah, but okay, it, sure. it becomes the reason is there's too many cars.
Well, right? But what's like terribly ironic is that we find out that this guy dies from a drunk driver.
Yeah, from a drunk driver.
Drunk driver yeah, yeah. In Virginia. So anyway, whatever. Wow. Yeah. It was fine.
I have a hard time with this movie, man. I don't even know what is good or bad to say about it. It's like, it existed. You know what I mean?
It existed.
I kept thinking about, I know it's not the same time. I kept thinking about Sinners. I kept thinking about like Lovecraft Country.
Oh yeah.
I think about every civil rights or movie or anything that has to do with the, you know, the black experience. And I had this vision of like a supercut. Like it'd be so easy to almost make an Avengers style movie because we have all these movies about these eras now. So sure. you can cut between a scene from Sinners and a movie like Loving and find some other meta narrative in there. Or cut from The Color Purple to Lovecraft Country and find something in there.
Amazing.
Just some food for thought for
the internet. Put that out there because you know somebody gonna do it. Yeah, what'd you guys think of Nick Kroll?
It's not him. It's just all of those scenes were so clunky, and it was just like he says something, and then his partner says something to correct him. And it's like, you know, you can't do that because of this. And it's just sort of like very Wikipedia. I don't know if the ACLU yeah. is the one giving network notes or.
I mean, honestly, it could be. That would explain a lot. That would explain really? A lot.
It just, it did make me mad. I texted the guys while I was watching. I was like, when I realized what was happening, that it was like, oh, they kind of have the ACLU. They're kind of like comedians. They're funny. They deliberately cast funny people to play the part. And it was like, to me, that's the most pre-Trump thing about the movie, even though you could also still make this post-Trump and highlight it even more, you know, like, but you're making sort of different choices at that point. But the most pre-Trump thing about this movie is that where it's like sort of like kind of funny how they back when they didn't know anything, you know, like it's right, sort of yeah, the vibe yeah. they're trying to make. And so it casts a weird or it's just a weird mark on the movie, even though they don't fully play it up for comedy. But I do believe that that is the reason why,
like, they cast a comedian, right?
For all those moments of like. You know, you don't really know, you know, this type of law, do you? Or like, you know, the X, Y, and Z isn't really going to work out. But like, but they just kind of by gum, they believe in it or whatever is sort of the vibe they were trying to get across. And so it was frustrating. Like, I'm like, oh, good for Nick Kroll when I see it. But it's like becomes frustrating in the context of like when this movie was made versus when it comes out and then everything that has happened since.
Yeah.
It's frustrating to see.
It is. You're also making me think like, okay, we know the real story about like Rosa Parks, right? Like how,
yeah,
like she wasn't actually the first black woman to do that. And like they had to like organize that because they had to create a narrative that is going to impact, you know, the news mm-hmm. and the country as a whole. And so we know like that the civil rights movement was very calculated in this way, mm-hmm. which tells me that this wasn't like just like they picked this case. Like this couldn't have been the only interracial marriage where people got arrested, right?
And that's why I'm so
like, why did they pick them?
Yes.
Yeah, we don't know.
Yes, that is the part. Why Ya? That's it. Why Ya?
Definitely the name. Definitely that last name.
And the last name is huge. No, I actually agree with you. Like, huge. I do think the last name must have. But it's crazy that they don't talk about it. Yeah. They don't talk about it in the movie at all. Yeah, like, agreed. But I'm like, their last name is Loving. Like, that's like, yeah. I think that does affect it. It affects the minds of people.
Because, like, the filmmakers, right? The filmmakers are going, well, we don't want to do to them. You know, like, we don't want to take advantage of that in the context of this movie. They really did love each other. You know, like, it's almost coming from that. Like, it's almost coming from, because they must also know, like, I was looking up that this sort of came about because one of the attached producers was originally going to do, and maybe even still did, a documentary about them post the woman's passing. And so like they know, at least at the core of this getting made, is a ton of research that they actually did, and they must know a fair amount, you know. So for them to be like, they must know that somebody at ACLU liked the idea that their last name was Loving and wanted to capitalize on that in this context. And they're like, oh no, we can't do that when we make the movie. We have to focus on the fact that these two people really did love each other, and that's what the movie's about.
Just imagine it starting with a pile of photos of interracial couples, and there's debating.
They had to, though. They probably had to.
I agree.
I feel like they probably had to, but also I think Bray's point is right. Is like, you know, when you finally heard the story about Rosa Parks, was like, the woman they had first was darker skin, she was pregnant, and like, unfortunately, that's, you can't sell that to white people. Like, you know, that's unfortunate. But like, yeah, tell us why them. Like, you know, because the guy sucks. Sorry.
Yeah, the guy, he sucked. At least in this movie. Sucks. Seeing the picture at the end where he was smiling, I was like, why Joel ain't smile the whole movie? Why Joel ain't smile the whole movie?
Like, you're fighting for the love of your life. And like,
exactly.
Whatever.
Well, that's my thing, and that's why I wanted to see more of their relationship, because then maybe we could have, if this was how he really was, at least in public with people, and he was so super quiet and down, like didn't say anything, and like, I mean, there is a part of me though that was like, oh, like she liked him because he, whenever she was like, this is what I want, he would shut up and do it. Like, he just was like, okay, you know, but let's see that relationship, because I, you know, to your point, James, if like they're really in love with each other, like, I know that because the film tells me that, you know, and like, but like, we barely get those moments with them where, you know, we get it just a tiny bit in the beginning. We get that one scene of them in the field where he's like, you know, tells her that he bought the field and he wants to make a house and propose and says, I want to marry you. And that's really it, I feel like. And most of the other movie is them dealing with this stuff almost separately, like not even together, you know? Yeah, that's the part that I feel like I really missed. Also, did you guys realize how much time had passed? Like, this movie takes place
10 years, right?
Yeah.
I didn't. Oh, wow. I didn't. Honestly, I just watched this movie to finish it. Like,
I get it. It's definitely a boring movie.
I was like, God.
It is. I think even the director has to be like, I mean, it's boring, but you
also,
know.
Also, I'm looking up the writer, it's the important. Director and the writers, and I'm just like, what?
Is it white people?
And the thing is, maybe this woman could be a white passing sense. Black woman, but she seems Caucasian. And I just wonder sometimes.
I mean, the director is.
Oh, he is. I mean, he's
as white
man.
As they come.
He's a white man. But I'm just thinking, like, it comes back to that question of who can tell what stories, man, because I think there's just some nuance that just isn't here. And I'm like, were there consultants? You know what I'm saying? Like, for instance, if you were to make a movie about somebody with a disability, somebody who's blind or something, ideally you would have a consultant to talk about that experience to like make sure things are getting done properly, or like talk you through, ask you questions. Like,
nah, she white.
Sorry, I was looking, you said maybe she's passing, and I was looking her up.
I was trying to give her benefit of the doubt.
Nah, bro, nah.
I was trying.
Right, may she rest in peace. She passed away, actually. But
I was trying.
You all do a lot of acting. Have you been in a civil rights era anything?
I wish, man. Give me one of them things. Come on now. And give me one of them
frankly,
things.
Frankly, maybe thank goodness. Maybe yeah. thank
imagine
goodness.
The one that you were in was Emancipation. Oh yeah, my God.
I know.
Could you imagine? Yes.
Imagine. Yo,
I forgot about that.
I remember. Do y'all remember that announcement? Will Smith. Of course was doing you did. Everyone movie. Did.
Nobody saw it.
I was
it.
Like, what do you mean? What do you mean?
It's such a it's slave almost movie? Like it's almost like the it's almost like the embarrassment of him slapping Chris Rock at the Oscars actually saved him from the embarrassment of Emancipation. Because by the time that came out, everybody was like, well, he's canceled for at least 5 years, right? And so nobody even talked about it. We didn't have to talk about the fact that the guy who just won Best Actor is in a slave movie.
Yeah, I heard he's coming to apologize,
but then
right?
Bad Boys 4. Bad Boys 4, though.
You're right. He wasn't actually canceled because Bad Boys did pretty well.
I mean
black people ain't cancel him. Sometimes you got to smack a nigga. I don't know. I don't know what you're supposed to do.
But correct me if I'm wrong, and I know this is not what we're talking about, but correct me if I'm wrong. The slap happened, and then they just fast-tracked Bad Boys 4.
No. So Bad Boys. Sorry. Because Bad Boys is supposed to be back to back. It was supposed to be.
It was supposed to be back to back. I remember.
It was supposed to be, but I think they already had the brothers already locked in. I think it was like.
Yeah, no, but I mean production and everything. Because it was supposed to be back to. I'm saying it was supposed to be back to back. It was not back to back. A few years. I know COVID was in there, but a few years passed. The slap happened, and he was like, "Hey, all right, we got to get in." We gotta hop into production.
Have you covered Wild Wild West on the show?
Yeah, we did.
I just out of nowhere, I just had a real urge to watch that music video a couple days ago.
For an incredible music video.
Yeah.
Incredible music video.
Yeah.
I just heard Getting Jiggy With It for the first time in a long time. And I was like, bro. This is a banger. Like, legitimately, like, I heard it. I was like, yo, my man, yo, it was
such a fun song.
But it was like, Getting Jiggy With It. And then Miami.
Oh, yeah, Miami. Yeah. Big Willie.
You ain't telling me Big Willie style wasn't a moment, bro. Like, you're not telling
me. Big Willie style was a good album. It was. I like both those albums. It's really fun.
James, no.
I like Millennium, too.
I like Millennium.
No.
Lil Kim is on a track, bro. Lil Kim.
No.
Is that the butter?
Here come the butter, baby.
Stop it. I hate the way you're saying it. I don't like hearing you saying the butter. I don't like it.
I don't like it.
Here come the butter.
Wild Wild West is on Millennium.
Wild West is great.
Yeah.
Disco puts like five and syllables
Will 2K,
in the word
Will
street.
2K.
Oh my God. I'm not here bad. For this.
Will
I'm
2K this. Was fun.
But I forgot we got on the Will Smith tangent. Are we done with this movie? Where's Braylock at?
I love Will Smith.
This movie was so bad it broke Braylock's Wi-Fi. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to hear about this movie.
I'm back.
You ever watch a movie and like 10 minutes in, you go, oh, no.
But at the same time, I don't know what I expect from these kinds of movies.
I know.
I guess I was like, pleasantly surprised that nothing was over the top because I feel like that's kind of what I expect. Sure. But
yeah,
that's true. It wasn't over the top. And those movies, these movies usually are.
I mean, these movies are like, also, we keep making them. We keep making them. It's like, why? Like, people complain.
Well, of course.
And people get Oscar nominations. And again, like, I struggle with talking about like the Oscars this season because I feel like there has been conversations about like, what plays into what stereotype, what does what, which, you know, I think are honest conversations. I just don't personally know how to have them. But it's like, and then what was it? Then it was, what's her name? Amanda Siegfried was even like, who cares about the Oscars? No one knows it in 10 years. They're like, who cares? And then it's like the Oscar curse for some people. Like, I don't think this shit helps. I mean, we only had one black woman to win, so we don't even know how that works.
It certainly helps in the way that it helps, and then it doesn't help in the way that it doesn't help. It certainly does not help certain people ask for more money, as evidenced by Terrence Howard being fired from Iron Man. You know, it certainly doesn't help. Certain, you know, that's part of why there's the Best Actress curse.
But also,
I got to pay this woman more? You know what
James.
I mean?
Like, the Terrence Howard stuff is so BS. Like, they paid him all that money in the first one because Robert Downey was uninsurable because he was a drug addict who, like, fell asleep in his neighbor's child's bed.
Yeah, honey.
Do we not forget this? And my man, could you imagine making a movie that becomes a blockbuster over $100 million and they want to keep you at the same budget while paying
the
person?
That's ridiculous.
Like, why would you? Bro, give me the money.
It would have been BS. It would, but and my thing is, it's BS even without the fact that they couldn't insure Robert Downey Jr. and blah, 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 and whatever. My man is now worth more money.
Yes.
Pay him more money.
Yes.
I don't care about what Robert Downey's getting. I don't care about what Gwyneth Paltrow's getting. I don't care what how much. Y'all know how much money y'all made? They was like, nah, we getting Don Cheadle. And Don Cheadle was like.
Yeah. Yeah. He sure was, bro.
I'm going to take it.
Said, okay. And guess what? It really worked out for him.
This world we live in.
It really worked out for him. That's a lot more pictures he was in.
Bray isn't here, so
sure.
I'm going to just set it up. All right. That's it for this.
What do you mean? I'm not here.
Damn it.
Bray's been here.
He was here the whole time. That screen was black 2 seconds ago. What the hell? God damn it.
It's time for The Cause. We rate and review films not based on how much we liked it, but whether or not it helps the cause of leading black actors in Hollywood. If it fully helps the cause, we give it a black fist. If it somewhat helps the cause, we give it a white palm. If it doesn't really help the cause at all, we don't give it anything. So on the count of three, we'll raise our ratings for loving. Not whether we liked it. Did it help the cause of more leading black actors in Hollywood? Okay. Here we go. 3, 2. One.
Yeah, Tim.
Y'all didn't listen to a word I said.
Wait, how do you do nothing?
Nothing is nothing.
You did it.
Jerron,
Tim giving nothing. All right, well, go ahead. Why'd you give it nothing?
It's kind of a... I feel like we all described how boring the movie was. I don't know how well it did in the box office. I don't know who saw it. I feel like it's just sort of. Yeah, I mean, what? There's nothing.
What's the progress? That's what Tim says. Jarrell, that's what you say.
So basically, I thought like I agree. I think her getting this Oscar nomination doesn't help. It wasn't like Ruth got a bunch of movie and projects after this, honestly. And it wasn't even as fun as the super offensive movies. Like, I hate Green Book. You know what I mean? But I hate it. Like, you know, like when I look at like Hidden Figures, I'm like, what the fuck is this? When I watch this movie, do you know what I think? Nothing. I think nothing, y'all. I think of things I could have done. I think of things I could have watched.
But that's actually kind of impressive. Eaten. That is, you know? In a way, impressive.
It is. How are you offensive and boring? All right.
Yeah, I mean, I gave it a palm because I do think that it is like while the movie didn't quite understand how to write Ruth's character, I do think that like getting an Oscar nomination, this leading to an Oscar nomination for Ruth, and it not so much being like it's not quite the same as like some of these other movies. That's why I give it. It's like, okay, yeah, like if they would have just also written the character a little bit better or whatever, then we're leaning more towards a fist. But I think it kind of helps in elevating her in that particular respect, you know? And not quite knowing how it helps or if this particular Oscar nomination leads to more stuff for her is where it becomes nebulous. But like the fact that she got the Oscar nomination, the fact that people might look up to that and be inspired by that, that's why I gave it just the palm.
Okay. And I gave it a fist because ain't none of us heard about Ruth Negga, didn't know who this woman was, and acting since. Okay, really?
Yes. Wait,
for what?
Unless when was Preacher? Was Preacher before or after? And what about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? I watched both of those.
She was on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah, but I think I knew her from Preacher prior to
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
But when was Preacher? But I might be wrong.
Well,
be wrong.
Hold on. Let me look at the
Preacher
episodes.
Preacher was 2016.
Same year.
Okay, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was before.
Okay, yeah, then I already knew about her.
So you knew her name? If Hold on.
I knew her name from Preacher, was the same year. So I, you know, that's nebulous. You know, like, I don't know. You know, could be the same. Could be that the movie happened, but she had already booked that. You know what I mean? Like, she's in that first season,
right?
Of Preacher.
I haven't seen the movie Passing, but how does this hold up to?
Don't. Well, that's get why me
I
was started. Good.
That's why I gave it a fist, because she started. She literally got another leading role from this in Passing. Okay, so she was also in Ad Astra, and like that wasn't as big of a role, but she, you know, it's a bigger, well, it could have been a big movie. I guess it wasn't really that big, but, you know, it's a Brad Pitt movie. And yeah, she hasn't had a huge career from this, but I do think, like, because the only thing that was nominated from this film was her performance, I think that counts as, you know, I feel like that helps the cause more so than some of these other things. I think it put her on a playing field, even if she's not getting a lot of stuff. She's, you know, she's in the mix. You know, she got her name out there.
She's really good in Preacher. Y'all haven't seen it, and she stands out.
Isn't that the show with that the character that has a dude with a butthole for
some of her mouth?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes.
I know. That's all I know.
It was good. I didn't keep watching the show after that first season, but it's good. I liked it.
Once you saw butthole face, James was like, I am done.
He's there immediately. He's there immediately. Butthole face is there from the
episode one.
Y'all like, hey, this don't make sense.
All right. Well, one black fist, one white palm, 2-0. Thank you guys so much for listening. Tim, thank you for coming on. Where can people follow you? Or do you want people to follow you?
Yeah, you can get everything you need from me at timbarnescomedy.com. And you can check out Judge Travis at judgetravis.com.
Amazing. You can follow us at Black Men Podcast on Instagram and Threads. Blackmenpodcast.com is our website. We have links there to our Patreon and Red Circle, where we do exclusive content. It's only $5 a month. You get so much extra content.
Love it.
We just reviewed, what was the last movie we reviewed on there? We did Night Patrol.
Listen, man, don't mention that. I tried to forget.
Tim, we also did another Black History film.
I walked out of a movie
film.
For the first time in my life.
Wait,
walked out.
Which?
I walked out of a movie. That movie Braylock just said, I won't even say the name.
Wait, what was
Night
the movie?
Patrol. We'll talk. It's called Night Patrol. We'll talk about it off the air. You can follow me at John Braylock. www.johnbraylock.com is my website. I got links there for my improv shows if you're in LA, as well as classes I teach at UCB, which mostly are online. So it doesn't matter where you are. You could take that.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That's cool.
That's fantastic, bro.
James?
You can follow me at Rule of Three Inc., ruleofthreeinc.com. Day of the Dad is playing at film festivals around the country? If you are in Ohio, I have some shows March 14th. 15th and 19th. March 21st, it's an updated date from the last episode of this podcast. March 21st, RIPDEI is back at UCB in California, but you can live stream it. You can live stream that anywhere.
Ooh,
in the world.
I love that.
And 50% of the voices that you hear on this episode are going to be performing on that. At least as of right now, we've said we're going to be
at least 50%
on the UCBcomedy.com.
You can follow me at Gerard Milligan on Twitter and Instagram. I do have shows. I post about them in real time. Hosting a variety show, which is in the Valley.
You're hosting a variety show, huh?
Yep. It is. I've been posting about it for a week. Okay. For a week.
I'm saying,
I put about it for a week. You're just trying to if get you it, do stand up, if you do songs, if variety, you, do if, a lot if you of dance, people. If you paint, come through.
You know, all kinds of different.
I will be having a show in New York on March 17th. I don't know the time or the location yet, but I will be telling y'all what it was because I'm going to need y'all to come out. And this show is in between. I'm really bad at knowing them offhand, but whatever. We're here.
You don't know the time or location yet?
No, I do not know. No,
you don't
I do
know
not
it right now at the top of your head.
Yes, no. Someone has told me. Someone has told me what it is. Do I know? Absolutely not.
I thought you were just willing into existence a show on March 17th.
I know it. I just can't think of it. But it will be in New York City on March 17th, the day before my big birthday.
Longest plug ever.
Whatever. Your plug was long. Hey, James, are we going to do a co-birthday party? What's up?
Can we? Let's, please. I want to. This, I we gonna told say, you about
James
it.
And I are going to do a pajammy jammy jam. Okay.
Hey. I'm going to find a location. Really?
Yep. Because we're turning the big.
I love a pajama
we're turning the
party.
Big number. So we're going
to
do it.
Certain numbers. We put certain numbers together. Those are the numbers that we're going to beat.
Wow.
You put those numbers together.
Hey,
that's
hey,
the number.
Hey, Bray, what you doing? Bray, no, don't.
25?
Hey, yeah, there we go. We turned to 25, baby.
I ain't doing that.
Quarter century.
31.
Y'all going to know exactly what it is when y'all show up. Y'all
got to show up. This whole party is fast.
I'm not playing that. I'm a grown man. I'm old.
Oh my God.
Right. I got a kid.
I got a wife. I got
bills to pay.
I got stress. My knees hurt.
By the way, can I say, like, I realize people are like, you know, people say, like, I got a mortgage to pay. Like, I got to pay a mortgage. And, like, that's just a humble flex because your mortgage costs just as much as my rent does. But you also own a house.
You own it.
And you have equity. So I don't ever want to hear I gotta pay a mortgage anymore. Yeah. I'm like, I gotta pay rent, bro.
Yeah.
And I'm lucky you got a mortgage. I don't care about your mortgage. I wish I could pay a mortgage. That means you have money sometimes.
Oh, it feels like an early Chris Rock bit the way
I
know.
I gotta pay rent. I'm over here like, oh nigga, this is going to you, huh?
I really I should be doing stand up. It doesn't make sense why I'm not, but it's just laziness. I don't like open mics. Anyway, we don't need to talk about this.
Okay.
Just one more thing to entice people to listen to Judge Travis. Just the simple fact that George Wallace is in multiple episodes.
Oh, multiple snap. Episodes.
Oh, that's
the legend.
That's Black history right there.
Yeah. That's really good.
George Wallace is so funny.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. If you ever get the pleasure of just talking to that man in real life.
Can I read you something? This will be the last thing.
We'll put this earlier than that tirade we just saw. The
I'm going to find this.
Yeah, because people have definitely tuned out.
The only reason he is in this is because I realized we followed each other on Twitter and I DM'd him. It was a long DM. I'll just read you what he responded the day after. I sent it August 12th, 2024. And this is what he responded on August 13th, 2024. Tim Barnes, period. I was late in reading my DMs. I'm over here at the Olympics and whatnot. Sure, I'd love to do it. Call my so-called manager of 17 years. Tell him I said yes. I haven't even called his punk ass. Thank you, sir. That is how I got him onto the show.
Perfection.
My so-called
I ain't
manager.
Even called his punk ass.
I'm at the Olympics and whatnot. It felt like it was meant to be.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
How much of the Wild Wild West rap do we all know? Can we end on that?
Oh, let's go.
The whole thing.
Wait, how does it start?
I don't think we're allowed to.
Wild Wild. Okay,
fade out slowly. You know what I'm saying?
Wild Wild West. Jim West. Desperado.
Rough Rider. None of this. Six Gun in this. Brother Run in this. Buffalo Soldier. Look, it's what I told you.
Any damsel
that's in distress, be out of that dress. Once you meet Jim West, roughnecking,
check the law, and
check your
hold.
Yeah,
so we gotta redo the movie.
Don't flex. Get a hold of your side. Swallow your pride.
Hold aside.
Don't let your lip react. You don't want to see.
You don't
want to
see my hand. Where my hip be at? See Artem now. Now we get into the plot.
From the start of now, run the game. James West, Tame of the West.
Tame of the West. So remember the name.
Now who you gonna call? Not the GBs. Now who are you going to call? And then what do they spell here? Because this is what I don't know.
Double something? Yeah.
Hey Scott, is any of this usable?
That's how far I got.
They went through the whole goddamn first verse.
So if with either
Wild
one
West.
Of us, break out before
break
you get
out
bum rushed.
Before you get bum rushed.
The Wild Wild West.
Also, Tim, why not suggest
cool
like
was in the song?
Miami, Big Willie style, getting jiggy with it?
Because this is steampunk. This is a revolutionary movie.
Don't do this.
Wild Wild West.
Honestly, the movie is crazy, but it is actually really fun.
I recently pitched robots into something that it did make sense based off of the source material. I was like, oh, we should do robots. I mean, people aren't going to expect it. We should do robots, source material, blah, blah, blah. And then the person was like, nah, that's a little too Wild Wild West. Damn.
wait, James, is it, who are you going to call? Not the GBs.
Right.
Who are you going to call? J Double?
Oh, wait, yes. J Double.
Why are y'all doing this?
Because what is J?
Why is this happening?
Wait, no, WB? No, that
doesn't
make sense.
At home, I'm sorry. This podcast ended.
What's funny about it is we could look it up. We're on computers right now.
Yes,
and
we're like, on the
let's try to figure this out.
Was it just that Cisco was hot? That they needed him in it? Like, the song doesn't really need him. But it's,
what's really funny is it's also not just him. It's all Drew of Drew Hill. But what makes me laugh every time is the Levert that's in Drew Hill does an ad lib at the end. Like, he didn't get nothing in the whole song. And then at the end, he's just like, straight to. Like, he's like, right. I'm on the track too. It makes me laugh. Belly laugh every time. It's so funny. Though.
Also, but it's Cisco. Who don't want Cisco made everything better at one point, yo.
Yeah.
It was Cisco.
Yeah.
Then it was T-Pain.
I mean, this was definitely his height.
Yeah, man.
Wait, hold on. Was it a Levert and Drew Hill, or am I thinking of Next? Was it a Levert and Drew Hill? Or
are you thinking of the bald kind of round guy?
Yeah. I don't remember him being bald, though. Was he bald?
I think he is bald. Yeah, I think he was bald.
Okay, all right. Bald. Yeah. One of the Leverts.
I don't know if that was his name. I don't know. I really only knew Cisco and the Temptations. Because
there's Gerald and then the other Levert. It's fine. We don't have to talk about this. And now, do y'all know what age Jerai and I are turning?
Okay.
Nigga, what is happening?
All right. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Peace.
This episode sponsored by YouBeauty. Looking for skincare that actually delivers transformative results? YouBeauty combines breakthrough science with simplicity. The multitasking resurfacing compound replaces multiple steps with one powerful yet balanced formula designed to visibly brighten, smooth, and even skin while helping minimize the look of pores, dark spots, and fine lines. And it's gentle enough for sensitive skin. Add their super hydrator for up to 48 hours of multi-level hydration that leaves skin looking plump, dewy, and glowing. Streamline your routine and see the difference for yourself. Shop now at YouBeauty.com.